During Memorial Day at Lowe's, shop household must-haves for less. Save $80 on a Charbroil Performance Series 4-Burner Grill to chef up something special. Plus, get up to 45% off select major appliances to keep things fresh. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/27. While supplies last. Selection varies by location. See Lowe's.com for details.
Visit your nearby Lowe's on Silver Drive in Columbus.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
This is the podcast where the dark and creepy things we don't talk about discover a voice. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
You know, sometimes the scariest things aren't what you see right in front of you, but the things you just barely catch out of the corner of your eye, the little flicker, like a shadow slipping through the edge of your vision just long enough to make you wonder if it was ever really there. Hey, I'm Tony Bruschi, and on today's episode, we're diving into a story that makes you question just how much of the paranormal can actually creep into our everyday lives. This one, yeah, it sticks with you. A family moves into a quaint little town in New Hampshire thinking they're getting a fresh start. The place, old, a bit worn around the edges, nothing unusual. At first, it's just a weird vibe here and there. An old basement whispers. You can't quite hear, but feel. Stuff you could probably brush off, but when that friend visiting from out of town takes one look at the basement and bolts up the stairs like her life depends on it, yeah, that's when things start to get really interesting. You gotta wonder, is this just about kids spooking themselves out? Or is there something deeper at play? A lot of people report those kinds of shadows, the ones you only catch in glimpses, right? The whispers you hear, but nobody else does. We dismiss them. But what happens if they don't stop? Or worse, if they get bolder. What's fascinating here is the psychology behind it. When fear is shared among a group, like a family, does that make it more real? Or does it make it easier for them to convince each other something's lurking where there's nothing? And when does it go from eerie coincidence to something a little harder to explain? If this story is any indication, maybe some places are better left undisturbed. So was it just old pipes and creaky floorboards playing tricks on the family's minds? Or did they awaken something in that old basement they should have never found? Let's dig in and find out. Dear Tony, I don't know how much of this will make sense, but I've got to get it out. Maybe writing it down will help me sort it all out, or at least convince myself I'm not losing my mind. I was about 12 or 13 when my family moved from Dover to a small town in New Hampshire. The place we moved into, it wasn't anything special on the surface, just one of those old buildings split into apartments. A little rundown, but nothing too concerning. If anything, it was the kind of house that creaked with history. It didn't hit me all at once, but things started to feel off. At first, it was just a weird vibe, something you could shake off. But that basement, we all hated it. Even my brother, who usually acted like nothing scared him. Never stayed down there long, my sister and I. We hated going down alone, but we had to sometimes. You know how it is when you're a kid. Mom sends you for laundry or something, says, and you just get it done, even if the whole time you feel like someone's watching you. It was a couple of years into living there when we discovered that old pantry behind a pile of junk in the basement. It was one of those root cellars people used before refrigerators, a little room with concrete shelves full of ancient jars of fruit and jam. Disgusting, really. My brother and I managed to clear it out a bit, thinking nothing of it at the time. Looking back now, I wonder if disturbing that room started everything. The weirdness was subtle at first, just moments when I'd feel a little off, like someone was standing just behind me. But then there were things none of us could ignore. One day I was sitting at the kitchen table with a neighbor chatting about nothing in particular when the sink faucet turned on. Full blast, all on its own. We both just froze, staring at it. I had to get up and turn it off myself. It wasn't like it had been dripping. I had to physically twist the handle back off. Then there was the night I was playing with this remote control car in the living room. It was one of those cheap toys with headlights you could turn on and off. I was fooling around with it. The room dark except for the car's little lights. I set the remote down next to me, buttons facing up, and walked across the room to hit the light switch. Well, before I could reach it, the car started driving itself back and forth like someone was pressing the buttons. I ran to my mom's room so fast I think I set a personal record. When we came back to check, the car's wheels were still, and it never acted up like that again. There were other strange moments, too. My sister would yell at empty air, telling it to stop whispering her name. I'd catch shadows moving in the corner of my eye, just for a second, but enough to make me question if I'd seen anything at all. It wasn't enough to terrify us, exactly, but it was unsettling. The only place that felt truly dangerous was the basement. It was like that room held something more, something heavier. One afternoon, my friend Ashley came over. It was summer, the kind of day where everything feels a little too quiet. I was in the middle of switching laundry when she followed me down to the basement. She sat at the bottom of the stairs chatting away about middle school drama while I loaded the dryer. I wasn't thinking much about the basement until I noticed Ashley go silent. Mid-sentence. I looked up just in time to see her face twist in terror. Without a word, she bolted up the stairs. I was still standing there, confused, when I felt the hair on the back of my neck stand up. Something about that moment changed the air in the room. It felt wrong, like whatever was down there had finally decided to make itself known. I slammed the dryer shut and ran after her, not even bothering to look behind me. When I reached the top of the stairs, Ashley was standing there, pale and shaking, apologizing over and over. "I'm sorry," she kept saying. "I saw it. I saw him." She described a tall shadow, something human-shaped but not quite solid, standing just behind me. She said it moved like it was creeping up on me, like it was waiting for something. And here's the part that really shook me. I hadn't told Ashley about the shadows I'd seen before. But her description? It was exactly what I'd seen out of the corner of my eye so many times. And after that, I knew I couldn't keep brushing this stuff off. I sat down with my sister and told her everything. Turns out, she'd been seeing things too. She believed there were multiple spirits in the house. A man, a woman, and a little girl. The little girl, she said, was the least threatening, but the woman, she was something else. And the basement? My sister said she didn't know what was down there, but it wasn't anything good. About a year and a half before we finally moved out, my dad had his own experience. He woke up in the middle of the night feeling like someone was watching him. When he opened his eyes, he saw a woman standing at the foot of his bed. He thought he was dreaming at first and closed his eyes again. But when he opened them, she was still there. He said she looked wrong, like she wasn't quite real, even though she was standing right there. She wore a white dress, but even that seemed off, like it belonged to a different time. My dad told me that she slowly lifted a hand and pointed toward the corner of the room, the spot where his room connected to mine and my sister's. He didn't stick around to find out what she wanted. Instead, he screamed, waking all of us up. By the time my mom opened her eyes, the woman was gone. After that, things continued as usual. If you can call any of this usual. I'd wake up sometimes feeling like someone had touched me or tried to pull me out of bed, but I could never be sure if it was real or just a dream. I didn't talk about it much after that. What was the point? No one else would believe it unless they'd experienced it themselves. When we finally moved out of that apartment, I wasn't exactly sad to leave. I slept better after we left, like a weight had been lifted. Wherever we'd gone, it stayed behind. I've never experienced anything quite like that in any of the places I've lived since. But I still think about it sometimes, especially the basement. I wonder if whatever was down there is still waiting for the next family to find that old pantry door. So what do you think, Tony? Can all of this really be explained away? Or was there something more to it? Something that made sure we would never forget it? After Ashley's encounter in the basement, things seemed to escalate. It wasn't like there was an immediate flood of activity. But the atmosphere in the apartment changed. You could feel it in the walls, in the way the air shifted late at night. It was as though the house knew we were aware of it now, and it wasn't happy about that. The whispers my sister used to hear became more frequent. She said they'd wake her up in the middle of the night, calling her name softly from across the room. But the scariest part? She said the whispers weren't always the same voice. Sometimes it sounded like a woman. Other times, it was a child. The shadows in the house, the ones we'd always caught just out of the corner of our eyes, became bolder. I'd see them standing still at the edge of my vision, almost waiting for me to notice. And when I did, they'd be gone in an instant. My sister told me she saw one standing by the pantry door in the basement one afternoon when she went down to grab something. She ran up the stairs so fast she tripped and scraped her knee, but she refused to go back down there alone after that. Not that I blamed her. Things came to a head one night when I woke up gasping for air. I could feel a weight pressing down on my chest, like something was sitting on me. I tried to move, but my arms felt pinned to the bed. It lasted only a few seconds, but it felt like forever. When I finally broke free, I sat up, heart pounding in my chest, and looked around the room. The shadows seemed to ripple along the walls, almost as if they were watching, waiting. It wasn't just my sister and me anymore, either. My dad started having more experiences, and they were getting harder for him to shrug off. One night, he said he woke up to see that same woman standing at the foot of his bed. This time, she wasn't pointing toward the corner of the room. She was staring right at him, her eyes dark and empty. He said she didn't move, didn't speak, just stood there like she was waiting for something. He told us later that he couldn't sleep in that room for the next few nights. Even my mom, the skeptic in the family, started sleeping with the light on after that. As the months dragged on, it was like the house knew we were getting ready to leave. The activity became more erratic, almost desperate. Doors would slam shut on their own. Objects would disappear only to turn up in the most unexpected places. My brother lost his phone once, and we found it days later inside a cabinet we never used. None of us could explain how it got there. The last few weeks before we moved were the worst. My sister and I had nightmares almost every night. We'd wake up feeling like something had been in the room with us, something dark and heavy. I'd hear footsteps pacing in the hallway outside my door. But when I'd peek out, no one would be there. One night, I thought I heard a child crying from the basement. I didn't dare go down to check. The night before we moved out, I had the strangest dream. Or at least, I think it was a dream. I saw the shadow figure standing at the foot of my bed, the one Ashley had seen all those months ago. It didn't move, didn't say anything. It just stood there, silent and still, as if saying goodbye. When I woke up, my room felt colder than usual, and for the first time in a long while, I didn't feel scared. It was almost peaceful. Moving day came, and we packed everything up, leaving the apartment behind. As we drove away, I glanced back at the old house one last time. For a moment, I thought I saw someone standing in the basement window. Just a flicker of a figure, gone in the blink of an eye. I never told anyone about it. What would have been the point? Now, years later, I can't help but wonder about that house. Was it truly haunted? Or was it just the product of our overactive imaginations? Either way, the experiences we had there shaped us in ways I can't quite explain. Even now, every time I feel that sensation of being watched, my mind drifts back to that old basement and the shadows that lived within it. What do you think, Tony? Was it all just in our heads, or did something linger in that house long after we left? Now let's take a moment to pull all of this together, shall we? What makes stories like this linger in our minds is not just the unexplained events, but the subtle psychological toll they take over time. The family in this story faced something that didn't necessarily scream its presence. It whispered, nudged, stood in the shadows. It's in those moments of uncertainty that fear takes root. Fear doesn't need validation. It just needs a flicker of possibility. And once that door's opened, even slightly, it's hard to close. There's a curious psychological element to what's described here. We know that perception shapes reality. When you believe something is watching you, whether it is or not, the brain reacts the same way. This family's experience with what they perceived as shadow figures, whispers, and unsettling presences could have easily been a blend of heightened awareness, subconscious fear, and environmental cues. It doesn't mean they were wrong, just that the mind has its own way of filling in the blanks. That said, there's also the question of shared experience. When multiple people report the same strange occurrences, when your sister hears the same whispers, your friend sees the same shadow, those individual fears become collective. And that, my friends, is where things get interesting. Could the presence in that old apartment have been an external force, a spirit or entity responding to their fear? Or was it their own belief and anxiety feeding a loop of expectation and manifestation? We also can't ignore the strange relationship between place and psyche. Some locations, especially old homes, carry layers of history that may leave an imprint. The basement pantry, untouched for years, may not have harbored spirits, but it did carry a sense of the unknown, a time capsule of sorts. The very act of discovering it could have unlocked something in the minds of those who lived there, priming them to notice every creak and shadow from that moment forward. The mind, when stirred, can play tricks even on the most rational among us. But here's the thing. Paranormal or not, the fear was real. That's undeniable. And fear, whether rational or irrational, shapes behavior. This family lived under the weight of that fear, whether from actual entities or from the unsettling sense of being observed by something unseen. In the end, the difference between the two may not even matter. What does matter is the impact it left behind. Long after they packed their belongings and drove away. And that right there is the mystery of it all. Did they walk away from a haunting or did they carry it with them? Because sometimes the scariest thing isn't what's hiding in the basement. It's what's hiding in the back of your mind waiting for just the right moment to emerge. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for taking this journey with me. And if you've ever lived through something similar or think you know what might have been lurking in the shadows of that basement, hit subscribe and stay tuned. There are always more stories to tell, and you never know which one might be yours.
Want more ghost stories of the paranormal? Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts. We're dropping new ghost stories every single day, all year long. This is Into the Paranormal with Tony Bruschi.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time to find furniture that feels like the one. Shop Haverty's Memorial Day sale and save on furniture backed by a regret-free guarantee. Plus, explore fresh styles arriving just in time for summer. Visit Haverty's online or in-store in Columbus at Polaris.
I like things my way. My coffee, my schedule, and my treatment. So I talked to my doctor about self-injecting with the Vyvgart Hytrulo prefilled syringe, which contains efgartigimod alpha and hyaluronidase QVFC. It's injected under your skin, subcutaneously. It means I can inject in my space, on my time. It's my treatment, my way. Visit VyvgartMyWay.com. That's V-Y-V-G-A-R-T MyWay.com. And talk to your doctor about Vyvgart Hytrulo, brought to you by Argenix.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.